charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. We're joined right now live via Zoom by the returning champion, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He is the host of Morning Cannolis every Saturday morning, 9 to 11, right here on the Shaw and Devil Radio. Jim, welcome back.
Glad to be with both of you this afternoon. Always a delight.
You know, thanks, Jim, I saw the people parking on stream. They're listening at their offices. They've been tuning in for you on Saturday mornings as well. I'm encouraged by that. I like when the audience cares about the issues of the day. But, you know, it's like, Dom and I don't matter. When's Jim coming on? So I hope you got something good for us, fella.
Jim Santel, I have anything you want. All sorts of things going on. And we can just pick from column A, column B, and column C and go from there.
Well, I'm going to need a Cassidy Hutchinson level appearance for you. Did you watch the testimony yesterday, Jim? I, to my humble opinion, best congressional hearing ever.
at the risk of sounding much too cavalier about all of that, I fully endorse the description of one other, not you two, but one other person I also admire, said it was a jumbo-sized popcorn and double butter afternoon. So truly amazing. A little bit more seriously, this is the kind of testimony that, frankly, you look to if you're putting together a criminal case, right? You've got the things in the public. We've seen a lot of that. And now you've got people coming forward to describe inside the West Wing, what's going on, who is saying what to whom, and you're getting that very granular aspect of what was happening contemporaneous with what we were seeing public at the same time. This is very significant, absolutely.
Jim, let's talk about the deflections and the obfuscations of the right. Starting with the criticism, this is all hearsay evidence. This is all hearsay, wouldn't be admissible in court. Jim, that wasn't my interpretation of hearsay. What's yours, sir?
No, so let's do a little bit of evidence in the afternoon here. We can always do that. All sorts of exceptions to the hearsay rule. We don't have to address all of those. But the fundamental notion is that if you certainly can describe things that you have seen and perceived that you have heard. Now, from time to time, if you will say, yes, that person told me something, yes, that sounds like hearsay. But again, many, many exceptions to that. And most critically, if we talk about a criminal prosecution of anyone, including, for example, a former president, if you're describing things that he said, if you're describing things that now a defendant who used to be the chief of staff said, those are things that do come in under admissions of party opponents. And so just the pure invocation of the evidence rules doesn't get you anywhere, certainly doesn't get you anywhere in the court of public opinion either, where thankfully those kinds of niceties, which are important in court, do not apply.
Jim, there was also arguments about the credibility of the witness. Some, I listen to Righty Whitey Talk Radio. Well, she was incorrect at least two times, and therefore everything must be discounted. I found her to be a very credible witness, Jim. And if there is some small erroneous part to her testimony, I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater. But how does it work in, let's say, the federal court, sir?
Absolutely. There's a wonderful instruction, Mike, that you just about codified that said, you know, if there are big things that a witness tells you and it's shown to be wrong, shown to be deceptive, shown to be inaccurate, you can discard everything else. But the small things around the edges, the timing of a conversation, small distances that do not really go to the material facts the person is describing, those should not affect credibility. The bottom line is, it is all about your own personal assessment of credibility. And that's what you look at when you look at somebody like Cassidy Hutchinson. You can also look at her demeanor, right? The way she talks. This is not somebody who plainly loves being there, right? She's not looking for the limelight here. She is plainly uncomfortable about this, but she is also clear and straightforward. This is not somebody whose credibility should be thrown under the bus. Those who are, say, the other description of her plainly are doing that for a purpose. In court, I would find her to be a very, very credible, reliable witness, even with some of the small things around the edges.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of the Devil's Advocates, joining us. Jim, always good to talk to you. I was thinking about you all day yesterday, man. Okay, so, I mean, and of the most inconsequential lines of thought yesterday. I think the catch up on the wall and, you know, trying to choke out his driver are the least important of them all. Right. But if on any of those issues, Jim, could those folks be required to come in and give testimony either to the J6 committee or perhaps to a grand jury impaneled by the Department of Justice? Secret Service officers have done that in the past. We could address this very easily, could we not? And further on that thought, my impression from what these J6 committee members were saying seemed to imply they've already got the facts from the Secret Service. So what's your take on that, Jeff?
Right. I think your last point is the big one, right? This is another part of the regular practice of law. You don't ask a question you don't know the answer to, and you don't have reliance on what the witness is going to say. So they plainly knew what she was going to describe. There may be some small differences about how far the distance was inside the limousine, that kind of thing. Again, those kinds of things do not matter. My strong sense is that probably the J6 committee has spoken to folks. It is an issue, candidly, when you have federal agents even providing protection for the president, others coming in to testify. Generally, the agencies balk at that and they try to suppress that because you just don't want that happening on a regular basis. But here, when you have arguably a criminal prosecution that could be underway or could be investigated by the Department of Justice, which is sort of your first point, those kinds of things, absolutely. Call those agents in, call those other witnesses in before a grand jury. They do not have any immunities. They do not have any other sorts of protections from that kind of testimony. And that's why the Department of Justice, my guess, is also all over this event today that was testified about yesterday and today continuing. And so again, the factual determination about what did and did not happen on January 6th, that is a story that can very well be confirmed by others. Unlikely that Benny Thompson and others would put this in front of America without some strong confidence that this is what really happened.
Well, and so we grabbed the wheel or not, threw the dish or not. Don't care, Jim. Honestly, don't care. Not clear how that impacts, you know, the coup attempt, Jim, because what my understanding, my takeaway was he knew they were armed. He wanted them there. He wanted the police to let him pass the mags. And he didn't give a damn for 187 minutes and said that Pence deserved it. That was my takeaway, Jim. Is that in any way criminal?
Look to the big picture, right? Right, exactly. The ketchup, the wheel, those are things that we're talking about because we think about the visual aspect of those, but they're not the things that, frankly, it is not a criminal offense to grab a wheel. Might be some other problems out there with it, but that's not the focus. You've got it exactly right. One of the things that we also heard yesterday, this is a man who plainly knew the people he was talking to were armed, right? And that explains now why he had those shields in front of him, which we always thought was curious on the lips. Now we understand that because the people around him said, "Mr. President, we have got to do this." Nonetheless, he says, no, send the magnetometers away, get them in, enable them to use those weapons. And oh, by the way, my vice president effectively should be hanged. We now have the outlines for all of this. There's internal information. You've got the visual things from the public generally, and you can come very close, if not nailing it, to establish that this is someone who had the intent, the knowledge, the intent, the purpose of undermining and overthrowing a legitimate process of government, namely the counting of votes for the Electoral College.
Man, when you put it that way, it kind of sounds bad. Yeah. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We have a fine guest, former U.S. attorney. He's our good friend, James Santel. Jim, Trump isn't the only one implicated by the testimony of Cassidy Hutchinson. Her old boss, Mark Meadows, he's up to his eyeballs. And he told her on what I want to say it was January 2nd, a few days before what happened at the Ellipse. And she had what walked the perhaps sober, perhaps intoxicated Rudy to the car. He was exuberant about the what was going to happen on January 6th. And she asked the boss, "Hey, Mark, Rudy says, what's going to happen?" And he said, "Cass, it could get very bad. So bad." You know what I'm saying? That to me implies that Mark Meadows knew what was coming and he allowed it to happen out of fear of the boss or whatever the case may be. But he allowed it to happen on some level. There's got to be at least civil implication by that. I mean, hell, Mark Meadows allowed people to die that day.
Right, exactly. And again, we think about what a criminal trial against people like Meadows, and I would add to that list, if I were John Eastman today, based upon what happened earlier in the proceedings, if I were Rudy Giuliani, I'd be very, very concerned about this. Why? Because once again, you've got individuals with whom you had conversations contemporaneous with and prior to January 6th, and you made statements to them that plainly reflected your own intent, again, your own knowledge. You knew what was going to happen. You purposely acted or did not act to make those things happen eventually. That is once again the basis for a criminal prosecution. And again, I have to believe the Department of Justice is looking at these kinds of things. You know, you do not have necessarily from Donald Trump himself, because publicly he continues to say, yes, indeed, I'm you know, doing something on behalf of the Republic. I had to ensure that the vote was proper. We don't put words right in his mouth, but so many people telling him that this was not the big steal. Plainly, he had knowledge of what was going to happen on that day, as we just described. And from that, it is not a big jump. It is not a big jump for a jury to say that, yes, indeed, there was intent to accomplish exactly what that mob accomplished. You add to it all the things that were in the public domain, you can make a very compelling case. As you can tell, prosecutor here, I would be delighted to be assigned to that trial team and work on that case.
Okay, I got one more multi-part question, then I'll let Dom filibuster the rest for a while. First and foremost, there were U.S. senators that were part of this plan, people like Ron Johnson, and perhaps complicit on a higher level, perhaps even helped drafting of the scheme to throw it back to the state legislatures or whatever the case may be, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. Do you see criminal implication for U.S. senators in their acts if they were part of the legislative coup or the procedural coup, if you will? And what about the pardons, Jim? Cassidy Hutchinson prior had told us about 5 congresspeople seeking pardons. And yesterday she ratted out her former boss, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani for seeking pardons. Giuliani denied with she wasn't in the room when I sought a pardon sort of denial. But Jim, what about the senators and what about the pardons?
And well, then let's start with the pardons. That may or may not be the easier one. Again, we know from our past discussions, what do pardons carry with them? They carry with them an acknowledgement of criminal behavior, right? That's a predicate for getting a pardon. And interestingly, of course, while it may keep you individually out of jail, if you are a United States senator or congressman and you've gotten from the president a pardon before he or one day she leaves office, it does keep you out of jail, but it doesn't prevent you from testifying, right? As a matter of fact, it strips away your capacity to raise a Fifth Amendment a privilege before a grand jury, before a trial. So you are obliged to testify. But again, fundamentally, a pardon, when you are seeking a pardon, even asking for one, it goes to intent. Absolutely.
Jim, could there be pardons that we're unaware of? Could Trump have issued pardons? Could they have pocket pardons, quote unquote?
We've chatted about this before. My own sense of process is that, well, I suppose anything could have happened under this administration, right? I never say anymore that is not impossible. There's this Office of Pardon Attorney that always is the archives, if you will, of pardons that are granted. It's got to be somewhere. There's got to be some document that you have to show the president before he left, signed this, did this. It's got to be credible, right? And so I'm still skeptical about those being out there. But again, the mere fact that they asked about pardons, to go back to your fundamental question, also conveys, can that testimony come in? Sure. Why? Because you're saying to someone, I need a pardon because I've done something criminal. That goes to intent. You know, as to your first portion of the question, yes, there's a legislative function that's administrative, that's ministerial, and then there's also a criminal function, and it's necessary to divide between those two. But just because you're in the United States Senate does not mean that you're immune from federal criminal prosecution.
Well, I like the way this answer's going. James Santel, stick around. Got more questions for you. Former U.S. Attorney, friend of the devil, Jim Santel, our fine guest. More of the Devil's Advocates, a whopper of a Wednesday. We're getting there.
You can't obstruct a crime that was never committed. The only reason you get pardoned is you committed a crime.